He's peppered me with questions constantly. And there's nobody, I think, more capable of being the director of our RU program. So as I thought about this particular year, this particular conference, I asked Dan if he would begin our conference with a message this morning. The theme of our year is the same every year: begin finishing well. We have Pastor Nick Russo will be here on Tuesday, Walker Bible Baptist Church in Hilton. Pastor Scott Strobel will be here on Wednesday, First Bible Baptist Church in Lockport. And Brother Jose Rodriguez will be here Thursday to end out our conference. I've asked all four of these individuals if they would not necessarily preach a message, but if they would provide for us what God has shown them and taught them in this particular theme: begin to finish well. So how about we pray and ask the Lord to bless our morning service. Lord, we come before you and ask and pray in a special way that you'd be those with those that are infirmed, those that are still grieving, Lord, the loss of loved ones. I know Robert and Mildred are still grieving over the loss of their son. Quillette is still grieving over the loss of Christopher. Our church family is still grieving over the loss of Mary. Debbie Taylor is grieving over the loss of her husband. Scott Strobel is grieving over the loss of his mom and dad and others. Lord, we pray for Diane as she recovers from her knee surgery and COVID, Emily and COVID. We pray for Cindy's brother, Sam, and ask that you'd be with him in the ICU in New Jersey. And all of the medical challenges and things that he is facing, we continue to pray for a spiritual revival there, Lord. Pray for Cindy's brother as he continues to recover from his major medical issues as well. We pray for Gabe, his medical challenges, and others, Lord, that we know. I pray for Janet's mother-in-law in Rochester, who was just diagnosed with COVID. And how I pray that all of these things would draw us closer to thee. Bless the word of God and the preaching of the word of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Dan.
Good morning. Pastor mentioned this was outside my comfort zone. If you measure the distance from where I normally sit, this is about as far outside as you can get while still remaining in the sanctuary. Part of what we're going to speak about this morning is our comfort zone. I do enjoy being in a rut. That's what I call my comfort zone. I love the rut life. We all know what that's about. We're traveling along our road as adults, and we're taking on more responsibilities. We're learning, we're gaining new skills, and at some point, we kind of settle in. We kind of figure, I've got a handle on what I've got to do. I've got a respectable amount of responsibilities in my life. I can look myself in the mirror in the morning and say, you know, I'm doing okay. And we feel that we've got a handle on everything, and we just kind of relax. Instead of continuing to push forward, to learn more things, to gain new skills, to take on new responsibilities, we just kind of pull back. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to take a break every now and again. We certainly need to consolidate our position and make sure that, you know, we've got in hand everything that we're supposed to have, and we're taking care of everything we're supposed to have. But the problem is that we don't just take a break. We don't just take a moment. We settle in and we'll stay there as long as we can, as long as possible. And of course, the problem with ruts is that we don't grow in them. We don't grow. We don't expand. We don't learn. We don't become more effective, more productive. We don't take on more responsibilities. And in fact, over time, our effectiveness, our productivity decreases. And if you're in your rut long enough, you can become a pretty useless person and pretty useless for the kingdom. And so good leaders kick us out of our ruts. They want us out of our ruts because they want to see us reach our potential. Pastor's a good leader, and so he's evaluating us, and at some point, you know, he approaches us and says, I'd like you to consider doing this or doing that. And it's never comfortable. Right, Danya? Never comfortable when we're pulled out of our rut. Here, can you take over this ministry? But it's a good thing. And we need to take it seriously. My Bible says that pastors are worthy of double honor. Among other things, that means when the pastor asks you to consider doing something, instead of just saying no thank you because it's out of your comfort zone, you need to actually consider it and actually pray about it and see what God would have you do. And so when Pastor approached me last week, it was something I definitely didn't want to do. I would have been very happy saying no. But he said those fatal words, please prayerfully consider this. And if you have any real living relationship with God, that means he put me in the clutches of the Holy Spirit. And so I had to prayerfully consider it. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah. So, but I did know, and I've been praying, I did know that I'm not, this is not my forte. I'm not up to this task. So, you know, I've been just asking the Lord to take over and speak through me. So in light of Begin Finishing Well conference, Pastor asked me to examine my beginnings and my finishings and to see if I had some insight on the question, how do we begin finishing well? Or what's necessary or what determines whether or not we finish well? And he just wanted my perspective on the topic. And so, you know, I began to look around and examine that, and I figured I'd start at the beginning. And what is the Begin Finishing Well conference about? And Pastor just highlighted it. He actually stole some of my material. Although, that's okay because I had originally stolen it from him. But as the year winds to a close, we do tend to go into a slump. It's been a very long, difficult year. And as we were mentioning in our prayer time this morning, this has been a banner year for long and difficult. We have encountered so many different things, and most of the things are still ongoing. I mean, we're still dealing with this, and there's, for some of those things, there's not really a clear end in sight. And on top of which, we have lost many of our family members, many of our church family members, our youth family members. I've lost one in my own personal family. And, you know, it's been a difficult year. And so, plus, winter's here, as you all noticed, especially those of us that don't have snowblowers. And so winter is a time when we normally become less active anyway, of course. And it's just our natural response is to sink down into a rut. It's very natural for us to take our foot off the gas and just coast into the new year. And the problem is that a new year means we're 1 year closer to the return of the King. And for those of us that are really looking, we know that could be any moment. And so the basic question is, how do we want him to find us? Carnal or committed? Passive or active? Tonight, we're going to have a service, and there's going to be some people here today, this morning, that could be here this evening, but won't be. And what if Christ returned tonight? How would you feel about him finding you in front of the television instead of in church? It's all choices we make. So I started reflecting on the topic of begin finishing well, and I discovered the prominence of the number two. There's two basic ways we begin things, voluntarily and involuntarily. And we have some teenagers here, and they know most of the things they've begun have been involuntary. Up until about age 18, most everything we begin is involuntary. And then after that, most everything is voluntary. There's also two basic categories of things we begin. We begin good things, and we begin bad things. For the world, that's kind of difficult for them to tell the difference. But for us, we should be able to tell. Those things that are in God's will are good things. Those things that are not in God's will are bad things. It's pretty cut and dry with him. Of course, whether or not we can hear from him is kind of dependent on whether or not we're listening, right? There's also two ways we can finish something, well and poorly. And based on how we finish things we begin in our lives, kind of depends on where we go from there. We do finish most everything we begin, unless interrupted by death, which is itself a finish, just not a planned finish. Even quitting is finishing. We've quit many things in our lives, and we say, well, we're going to go back to that in time, or we're going to finish that at some point. But of course, even if we do plan to go back to that thing, it is finished for the time. And in reality, we don't know that we're going to get back to it. And most everything we do quit that we say we're going to go back to, we never do. Nor do we really have any intention of doing it. But quitting is not necessarily a poor finish. So long as you're quitting what you shouldn't have begun in the first place. In the RU ministry, being a quitter is considered a very good thing. Karen, can I have an amen? I'm glad that I'm a quitter. I'm glad that the Lord has removed things from my life that should not have been there. Another two, there's two things that we begin, but we don't and can't finish. Any idea what's one thing we begin that we don't and can't finish? Life. That's number two. Life is the first thing. From the moment you are conceived, which is, of course, where life begins, from that moment on, you will always be alive. You will never finish being alive. You will move on from this phase of it, but you're always alive. Saved or unsaved, you're alive for eternity. And then, of course, Laura, our relationship with the Lord, our Christ life. And by that, we don't just mean heaven. If we just meant heaven, you could kind of roll that into life. But what we mean is our service for the King, our relationship with the King. And that's going to continue, of course, after we transition from this phase. So what determines whether we finish well or poorly? And because this is coming from my perspective, I began examining the things that I've begun and finished in my life. And one of those things was high school. We'll start there. I finished high school poorly. I got all C's and D's, and more importantly, I left high school without any direction on where I should go from there. The reason I finished poorly was because I had a bad attitude. I didn't want to be there. And I had a bad focus. I allowed myself to get distracted by a lot of things that I ought not have been distracted by. Mostly bad friends who led me into a lot of things that I didn't need to get involved in. But I wasted those high school years. And I know a lot of people that didn't. I know a lot of people that used those years to plan for their future. And when they got out of high school, they knew what they were going to do. And of course, I didn't, because I finished poorly. So that left me directionless. And being directionless, I became suggestible to other people in my life who didn't have any better idea what I should do than I. But they were trying to help. So I had a family member suggest that I go to business school, because he was in that field, and he said, you know, sales, business administration, it's a great field, you know, you'll do wonderful in it. And so I ended up going. And I went for a couple years, and I finished that well. I've got all A's and B's, and I got my associate's degree. And the determining factors for me finishing that well was just what had left me finishing poorly in high school. But this time was a good attitude and good focus. I had a good attitude because I chose to go, and good focus because I was paying for it, which always helps. And after that, I went and I began a career in sales. And I finished that well after a year by quitting, because that wasn't God's will for me. And he showed me that over the year. I tried out every different sales job and position you can imagine, and it always felt to me like I was holding people up by the ankles and shaking them to get the money out of their pockets. And it was just wasn't comfortable. I mean, that can be a great field if that's what you're made for, and I wasn't made for that. But I still was left directionless at that point. And so I decided, because I had had many uncles who had been in the service and other family members, my brother and a cousin, I decided to go into the Army. And my idea going into the Army was those years would give me time to figure out what I wanted to do in life. And meanwhile, I would be doing something that, you know, I respected and something that I thought would be a great experience. And so I joined the Army. And I served for a few years, and it was a great experience, and I highly recommend it. And I finished very well. And I got all sorts of awards, and I learned all sorts of great lessons, and I gained some amazing experience. You know, I learned to appreciate life. I learned what discipline was really about, and I looked at the determining factors for why I finished well in the Army, and we went back to good attitude and a good focus, but I added to those a good work ethic and a servant spirit. And by servant spirit, I mean humble, teachable, obedient. In the service, you have to have that, or you will never finish well. If Jose had gone into boot camp with a chip on his shoulder that he was something special and nobody was going to tell him anything, probably wouldn't have gone so well, especially in Marine Corps boot camp. There, when you go in with that attitude, they make manual adjustments. So, but I now had four factors in determining whether or not I finished something well. And also, I will say that I have learned that a good attitude by itself does not encompass those other things, because you can have a good attitude but not be focused. You can have a good attitude but be lazy. I know people that are very happy-go-lucky guys. They're fun to be around, but they're going nowhere in life. They've got no drive. They're very lazy. You can have a good attitude but not have a servant spirit. I mean, you can be happy so long as somebody doesn't ask you to do something that you don't want to do or steps on your toes in some other way. So all of those four are important. But during my service in the Army, I began something else. I began my alcohol addiction. And I would eventually, years down the road, finish that well by quitting that. But because I began that thing, I wasted those years in the Army that I had set aside for figuring out my direction in life. I got involved in that, and that took up all my time when I wasn't doing whatever I was doing throughout the day, my daily activities. And also, looking back, I know that if my Army service had lasted a couple years longer, that thing, the alcohol, would have affected how I finished my service, because I wouldn't have been able to finish well with that in my life. But my Army service did end, and I moved on. And I learned the lesson that what we choose to begin can affect how we finish other things we begin. The alcohol addiction kind of messes up the timeline here because it spans such a long time itself through a lot of other things. But the reason I finished well with that alcohol addiction was because of a fifth factor. And that fifth factor was a surrendered heart. You could also say a surrendered life or surrendered self, whatever terminology you want to use. Surrendered heart is like the servant spirit. It's humble, it's teachable, it's obedient, but it goes much further, and it's only for Christians. Unsaved people can have a servant spirit, and we know many that do. But only Christians can have a surrendered heart, because only Christians have somebody to surrender to. And we have the choice. And just as we surrendered our pride for salvation, we need to surrender all the rest of us for sanctification. And what I learned for myself through this alcohol addiction is a surrendered heart is not, I'm giving this alcohol addiction to you, Lord. Please take care of it. That's not a surrendered heart. That's a self-righteous heart. That's trying to use God as our servant to clean up the messes we made. A surrendered heart is, I'm giving myself to you, God. Do with me as you will. And please take care of this alcohol addiction in your way, in your time. And I learned another lesson. I learned that we can finish some things well without a surrendered heart, as I already had to that point, but there are some things that absolutely require it because they require His intimate involvement in our lives for us to finish well. Because I began my alcohol addiction in the Army, I was still directionless when I came out of the Army because I had used those years poorly by beginning that thing. And so I was still suggestible to family members who were trying to help me, who still didn't know any better than I did. And another family member stepped forward and said, I think you would be a good teacher. You need to go to college for teaching. And so I decided to do that. And I began my college career, and I ended up going for several years. My grades were good. But I realized at a certain point that I did not have the passion for teaching in a classroom. And I had known many teachers who had been very influential in my life, who had really just impacted me deeply to do things outside the classroom and to think outside that subject. And I realized that I did not have that passion, and so I would never be a good teacher. So I finished my college career well by quitting it. There is a theme here. Excuse me. But the lesson I learned, again, is that things we finish poorly, like my high school years, can absolutely affect our lives in many ways for years after. If I'd had a good attitude and a good focus in high school, I might have discovered what I was passionate about, where my skills and talents could best be used, and I might have been on my way a little bit earlier. More important lesson I learned, although much later, is without a surrendered heart, it's a toss-up as to whether or not I begin the things that I should begin, or whether or not I finish anything well. Because without a surrendered heart, you have a great deal of difficulty hearing from the Holy Spirit and receiving His guidance. So when I left college, I was still directionless. However, God intervened at this point to give me another nudge. As in hindsight, I can look back and see He'd been giving me nudges all my life, although most of them I had ignored. But at this time, throughout my college years, I had been working at a security company, just as contract security, which is a great job for when you're going to college because you have all sorts of time to do your homework on the job. You're sitting out in a guard shack in a parking lot, and there's nothing going on, and so long as you're looking up every once in a while to make sure nobody's smashing into cars, you can get a lot of homework done. But when I left college, I was still doing this job, and because I'd been with the company for a certain number of years, they made me a security inspector, which meant that I got to drive around in a little security truck and go visit the sites that we had and see if the guys needed any supplies, see if they were still awake, see how things were going. And I ended up pulling up to, in 99, I pulled up to a site with a guy that I had worked with years before. And I went in there, and he and I started talking. And he said out of the clear blue, "Hey, there's this corrections officer's exam coming up. How about I get an application and we'll take it together?" And I'm like, okay, whatever. I mean, you know, I knew there were prisons. I did not know anybody worked in them, but I knew that there were prisons. And so, yes, I heard about them. And so, you know, I mean, I had never, ever even remotely considered that. And I still wasn't considering it, but I didn't want to be rude. And he said, "I'll get you an application. We'll fill it out together." Okay. So I said, fine. And so did end up filling out the application and sending it in. And some months later, I got the notice for the test coming up. And at that point, I was still with the company, but working at a site, Fisher-Price in East Aurora. And this time, the guard shack was big enough where there was two of us in there. And there was another guy that I just knew casually, who I just, you know, known from working there. And we just were talking, and one day, you know, he mentioned this civil service exam, and I said, "Oh yeah, I put an application for that too." And he goes, "Oh wait, I'm gonna get the study guide. We'll study together, you know?" And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know? And so he got the study guide and we studied together. And took the test, and I ended up scoring number one in the state. And so that fast-tracked me into getting into this career. The point about that is, the guy that got me the application, he did not take the test. The guy that got me to study, he did not take the test. Neither of those guys were interested in taking the exam or in taking the job. God told them that they were, so he could use them to get me into the job. There's so many times when I'm looking back in my life where, you know, I see his direct intervention. And, you know, I've been on this job now for 21 years, and I obviously haven't finished it, but it's going well. I enjoy it. I've got a passion for it. And the Lord has given me a good name there, and I've accomplished a lot of good things. And I look at the determining factors there, again, for the success that I've had. And again, good attitude, good focus, good work ethic, a servant spirit. But it was during this career that I gained that fifth determining factor, the surrendered heart. Because it was about 9.5 years ago, halfway through this career, that I surrendered my heart to Christ so he could free me from the alcohol addiction. And I'm not going to go into that story. I've gone into that story before. I talked about that in my transformation celebration. But basically, God showed me what my heart was really about and how depraved it really was, and how no matter the words that I had said to everybody, to concerned family and friends, oh, I want to quit, I'm trying to quit, and all that stuff, it was just a game I was playing. It was just to soothe my conscience and to try to quiet the Holy Spirit. And he showed me that I was truly powerless against this demon, that I had nothing to bring to the table. And it wasn't until that point when I said, Lord, if I can't even will to quit this thing, if I can't even truly desire to want to quit, I've got nothing. I got nothing. And so at that point, I gave him my life. And he took the alcohol away. But as my job gets more challenging because the state is getting more and more liberal and their mindset is more and more of, you know, the people that are doing the bad things are the good guys and the people that are trying to stop those people are the bad guys. But as the job gets more challenging, it's my surrendered heart that's keeping me on the right track because I'm now moving at the impulse of God. Obviously, not all the time. There's none of us perfect. But most of the time, as I'm hearing the Holy Spirit, I'm doing what he says. Part of that is not fighting battles that I ought not fight. Part of that is not getting distracted with worldly concerns that I don't need to be distracted with. And then part of that is actually engaging in kingdom work while I'm on the job. For a long time, I had this stumbling block in my life because of my pride where I regarded men more than him. And so I would not witness to my coworkers because I was afraid. Because I knew, well, they're going to start mocking me and calling me names or whatever, you know. But now, because of the work he's done and because I have given him my heart, now I'm having the boldness to witness to my coworkers. Even convicts on occasion he opens the door to. And so he's really blessing me. And there's this other thing that I began about a year and a half ago as our youth director. And I'm not finished, and I'm not very far along, although I think it's going well because I haven't burned the church down yet. But one thing I'm learning is that surrendered heart is what's carrying me along, and that I could not do it without that. And I'm also learning that there's more and more of me to surrender. As I surrender these things, he's like, okay, well, there's that thing. But it's beautiful to see the process in action. It's beautiful. I've learned a lot of good lessons from the things that I've begun and finished. I've learned that whether or not I finish well is due to my choices. Nobody to blame. I make all those choices. I've learned that attitude, focus, work ethic, and a servant spirit are determining factors to finishing well. But I'm learning that a surrendered heart encompasses all of those. That if my heart is truly surrendered, if I'm really moving at the impulse of the Spirit, my attitude, my focus, my work ethic will be good, and I'll have a servant spirit. If I've got a surrendered heart, I'm going to finish well. Also, a surrendered heart is leading me to begin the right things so I don't waste time on the wrong things. And I've had so much experience doing that. As we move into this new year, we tend to go into that comfort zone. And my encouragement is just to remember, as the Holy Spirit keeps reminding me, time is very, very short. Time is very short. And we can all begin finishing well by guarding our attitude, by remembering that the war is already won, and we're the winners. We're on the winning side. No matter what happens, it's already over. We need to maintain our focus so that we don't get tripped up with things, that we don't get sidetracked, distracted away from things that we need to focus on. We need to maintain our work ethic. We need to not get lazy, which it's so easy to do. When we hear the Holy Spirit telling us to do something, instead of making excuses, we need to just do it. And of course, we need to maintain that servant spirit and the humility above everything. You know, let God lead. Let Him be in charge. I began this Christ life at age 14. And I'll never finish it, but of course I will finish this phase of it. And as we know, as we've heard throughout our Christian lives, the goal is to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And what I've learned through all my beginnings and finishings is that the best thing I can do to ensure that I finish well is to just keep surrendering myself to Christ day by day. And that's what God had me for me to bring. Thank you for your attention, Pastor.
How about we bow our heads? Maybe you're like me, I have a box, or you might have something. I call it a memory box. Maybe there's a part of your house where you store some things that are important to you. Things that you began, maybe you finished, maybe you have a high school certificate. Maybe you have a high school yearbook. Maybe you went to college. Maybe you went to the military. Maybe you have photographs of things that you began and maybe you finished. You started something. But you haven't finished it yet. So there's a spot for that. Maybe somebody encouraged you to do something else, and maybe you didn't pray about it, maybe you didn't seek the Lord about it. It just seemed reasonable at the time. And as you look back over the years, you realize that God was in that. It seemed to be a silly suggestion. that you followed. Maybe this is a good time of year to look at your life as a yearbook. As you go through the years, determine if you're in that rut. The Bible calls it stony ground, the parable of the sower and the seed. Sometimes things grow on it, but they don't last long because the roots can't go down. There's no nourishment. Sometimes we write things down to remind us of things. And then life happens. A crisis occurs. We're distracted. Not necessarily to a bad thing, but we're distracted to reality. And the Lord brings to our attention through a service, through a devotion, through a Bible reading, through a message, the Lord might remind us of something we agreed to, something we committed ourselves to, something that the Lord gave us a burden for. And it isn't a week or a month or a year. It's almost embarrassing when we think about how long ago was it that I agreed to do this? And you might say, I forgot. I failed to remember. I stopped making it a priority and a focus. We all have testimonies like Dan's. The key is surrender. You can't surrender unless you're saved. And if you are saved, you can fight surrender your whole life. And you can live as a marginal Christian. You can live as a miserable Christian because you're fighting the God of the universe, the God that has your best interest at heart. God can't force you to surrender, but He can entice you, encourage you, promise you through His Word and through His Spirit. He will help you every step of the way. And there's no more better life on this side. It can't be any more fulfilling. Scary? Yes. Exhilarating? Absolutely. Uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. That's when the comforter comes, when He puts us in uncomfortable positions. So, Lord, we all come to You this morning as a church family, admitting that we are uncomfortable. Our society, our country, our culture is making things uncomfortable. Restrictions, lockdowns, government overreach, policies, politics, a lot of things, Lord, are making us uncomfortable. Some are grieving the way things used to be. and maybe realizing it's going to be a long time before they ever go back to the way they were. If they ever do. So therefore, there's probably not a better time to get out of the boat of laziness. Get out of the rut. Jesus said to Peter, come. And Peter got out of his rut. In front of all of his friends, in front of his peers, in front of those that would make fun of him because he was such a bombastic, ostentatious braggart. And Jesus held him accountable at that moment and said, okay, Peter, you think you're all that? Come. All right, I'll show you. I'll show them. And God showed Peter, as long as you focus on me, as Brother Dave said in prayer meeting, even in the midst of the storm, I'll help you walk on water. Lord, help us to get out of our boat. The familiar, the comfortable. Let us take a risk of faith. Let us trust you fully, totally, completely, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have a video.
His chains shall he break, for the slave is a brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease.
That's just warm up for heaven. Isn't that wonderful?